Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank You for that wonderful peace that we sang about and now that we're going to preach about. I thank You, God, that we can have peace like a river. And Lord, that when all the troubles and storms of this life are all around us, we can still have peace. God, this morning I pray that You'll help me to preach in such a way that those who have the peace will be able to rejoice in it, and those who don't will be able to find it. I pray, God, I'd be Your mouthpiece and Your vessel. I pray, God, that the Holy Ghost of God would do what I cannot do. And I pray, Father, we'll leave this place filled with peace in our heart and soul. And God, for those this morning that might be troubled, hurting, anxious, worrying, stressed out, angry or bitter, or whatever other thing they might be battling. Oh, I pray this morning, Father, that the Prince of Peace might visit them and they'd find peace like a river. Ask You, God, to meet with us now and get glory for Yourself and Your Son. And we pray it all in His name. Amen. Amen. Thus far in this series, we've talked about love and then joy, and this morning, peace. I want to remind you, the world has a counterfeit for each one of these. The world has a counterfeit for love. The world has a counterfeit for joy. And the world has a counterfeit for peace and the others. And the world will pacify you with temporary pleasure that'll be mistaken for joy. The world will pamper you with shallow relationships that'll be mistaken for love. And the world will pet you with idle promises mistaken for peace. Let me repeat that. The world will pacify you with temporary pleasure mistaken for joy, will pamper you with shallow relationships mistaken for love, and will pet you with idle promises mistaken for peace. That's why in America everything is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's why the lights are always on in Las Vegas. That's why we have 24-hour-a-day radio stations. When I was a little boy, occasionally I would stay up late and watch a television program. We didn't watch a lot of TV. We were busier playing ball, planting gardens, and chasing lightning bugs. But occasionally we'd stay up real late, me and one of my brothers, and you know what, about a certain time, all of a sudden the TV just started going crazy and you just heard this beep. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Not anymore. It used to go off. You couldn't turn it on ABC, CBS, NBC, and there was no Fox. Amen. Now it's 24 hours a day, cable network, satellite network. What in the world is going on? Hey, whether it's the workplace or the ball field or the restaurant or Walmart or the park or the mall or the television or the radio or the internet or the video games or some gadget, there is something forever going on to occupy your mind and give you artificial peace, artificial joy, artificial love, artificial happiness, artificial something. And if that ever comes to an end and the world comes to a screeching halt for a funeral or cancer or heart attacks, then you'll find out whether or not you got real peace.
Yeah. Amen.
You see, there's something not right about living in a town like Carthage and having a Walmart that's open 24 hours a day.
Amen.
There is something not right about that. But all these things keep people occupied with some form of perverted joy or peace. But when the tragedy strikes, when death strikes, when sickness comes, when problems arise and come their way, what they'll soon realize when all of that comes to screeching halt, hey, I hadn't landed long enough to realize I'm really hurting on the inside. And all the things I'm doing are just to pacify me with a temporary pleasure, a temporary joy, or temporary peace. Let me illustrate it this way. When people who profess to be saved, when people who profess to be born again, people who say they are saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ because they have trusted Him and Him alone for their salvation, when those professing Christians shout at the ball game, cry over soap operas, laugh at a dirty mouth comedian, get excited about going to a 150-item buffet, or can't wait to see the latest movie, but will not give us a holy grot in the house of God, something is wrong with the people of God. You can tell whether or not what you've got is real when it's consistent. And there is something wrong when we weep and cry and shout and laugh at what the world weeps and cries and shouts and laughs at, but come to the house of God and don't weep and don't shout and don't laugh and don't cry, but sit around like passive wooden Indians. Something is wrong with that. In Deuteronomy 23, God warned the children of Israel about the Moabites. And if you read that passage, He told them to stay away from the Moabites. And in Deuteronomy 23, verse 6, He says, "Thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity all thy days forever." Why not seek the peace of the Moabites? Why not seek the prosperity of the Moabites? Because it is a compromising temporary peace and a compromising temporary prosperity. At 18, I got born again. And about 15, 17 years ago, I got right about some things. I've got a peace and a prosperity that nobody can take away from me. I've got a peace and a prosperity that does not depend on my income. It does not depend on whether or not you're proud of me or happy with me. It doesn't depend on whether my friends like what I'm doing. It doesn't depend on whether or not I got a name tag shirt on. It doesn't depend on whether or not you vote for me and say that I can still be your pastor. It doesn't depend on whether or not you say good preaching or not. It doesn't depend on whether or not you say amen. It doesn't depend on whether or not I've got the same kind of truck you've got. It doesn't depend on whether or not I've got a Suburban or a Cadillac or a four-wheel drive pickup. It doesn't depend on whether or not my friends think I fit in. Hey, I got a peace and a prosperity that the Moabites don't know anything about. God said you don't need to seek the peace or the prosperity of the Moabites. Why? God doesn't want you to compromise in order to have peace. Because that peace won't last. And that prosperity won't last. People talk about prosperity. Let me tell you what people talk about. Prosperity, you know that. Money and material things. What kind of car you drive? How much do you make? Where's your house? What's that worth? People talk about prosperity. People talk about pleasure. Did you go to the movie last night? Did you hear that newest song? Have you seen that latest video game? They talk about prosperity. They talk about pleasure. They talk about popularity. Who are your friends? Who were you with last night? What club do you belong to? Are you a member there? They talk about prosperity and pleasure and popularity. They talk about politics. People love to talk about politics. Laws and courts and who's running and who's going to be elected and who's going to do this. Probably in all of these things, prosperity, pleasure, popularity, and politics, and all these things that people talk about, one of the things that they're really interested in, and the reason they're interested in those things, is what they're really interested in is peace. They want a president that'll help them find peace. They want things that'll give them peace. They want acceptance that'll give them peace.
Amen.
They want all kinds of things because what they're looking for in all of the things they talk about, what they're really looking for is peace. And what they do is they seek what they think will give them peace. Whether it is inner peace or outer peace, the world seeks peace. And yet, sadly, they seek it in all the wrong places. You know, the world knows all about peace talks and peace treaties and peace summits and peace rallies, but nothing about peace.
Amen.
The world doesn't understand peace. The world doesn't have peace. If you are truly saved this morning, born again, washed in the blood, you're a child of God, hey, you have available to you something the whole world is looking for, peace. Peace, wonderful peace.
Amen.
The whole world wants what's available for you.
Amen.
The Bible says in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
it says, therefore being justified by faith. See, if you're trying to be justified by religion, you'll not have peace.
Right.
You're trying to be justified by living a good lifestyle, you'll not have peace. You think you're going to get justified because you raise your children right, you won't have peace. You think you're going to get justified because you got sprinkled or baptized or joined the church or had somebody pray over you. That will not lead to peace. That you think that you're going to be justified because you live better than your neighbor or you did a better job than you did last year and you're getting closer and you don't drink like you used to and you don't cuss and you don't smoke and you don't do this and you don't do that. You think, bless God, I'm going to get peace. You'll never have peace. You're always trying to do something. You always drop the ball, don't you? When you're trying to get peace any other way. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and joy, or and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. In other words, you're not going to find peace just because you've got something to eat. It's not meat and drink. That won't give you peace and joy. Because I tell you what, after you have your nice banquet with all the bigwigs in town, somebody's going to come in and have one bigger and better and shinier than yours. When all of those things are what you seek for peace, you'll never have peace. Romans 8:6 says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Psalm 119 verse 165, we know it well. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Jesus said in John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Somebody tell me something this morning. Based on the verse I just read, what would be the opposite of peace? Listen to it. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. A troubled heart and a fearful heart. Worry. Anxiety. Stress. Anger. Depression. Frustration. Turmoil. Jesus said, come unto me. And I will give you rest. You know what peace is? It's rest. You know what no peace is? Unrest. I preach every Sunday to people who have unrest in their heart. Can't settle down. Can't calm down. Can't relax. And say, wonderful peace. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Hey, let me ask you a question. Worry, fear, anxiety, unrest, and tension, and turmoil, or peace? Which one rules your heart? Second question, which one rules your home? Which one? Which one rules my heart? Which one rules my home? Tonight I'm going to talk about the path to peace, according to Philippians chapter 4. But this morning, in some general terms, I just want to ask you the question, what's in your heart this morning? What was in your heart last night? What was in your heart Friday night? What's in your heart for this afternoon? What's in your heart? What's in your home? Is it peace or is it worry and fear and anxiety and stress and tension and anger and bitterness and turmoil and confusion and chaos? Hey, the Bible says, let the peace of God rule your hearts. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. What's the opposite of peace? Worry. Can't rest. You know what the Bible says in Isaiah 57? Listen to this verse. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. Whose waters cast up mire and dirt. And then it says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. That's why I said earlier, our peace depends on our faith, but then our faithfulness. God's not going to let you have peace if you're saved and not living right. Oh, you might have temporary peace and temporary pleasure and temporary things, because what you'll do is you'll occupy your life with the radio and the television and the music and the games and the videos, and you'll get so busy and it'll be 24/7 and you'll never land long enough to find out what you've got ain't real until the funeral home hits or cancer, and then you'll find out whether or not what you've got's real or not. So peace is spiritual peace. Mental peace, emotional peace. I see so many people without peace this day and time. Just no peace in their heart. Now I want to talk to the people of God this morning, but first things first, if you're not born again, you have no hope for peace. If you're not saved, you'll never have lasting peace, real peace. I mean, you'll never have peace that'll get you through death and get you through heartache and headache and sorrow and grief. You are not saved this morning. There's no way you'll ever have any real peace. You need to get born again. Amen. Just need to get saved. The Bible says, being justified by faith, we have peace. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:14, for He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Colossians 1:20 says, and having made peace through the blood of the cross. The only real peace, lasting peace, I mean eternal peace that you'll ever have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you get saved. Now you may be here this morning. You may be a decent human being. You may be a moral person. But when you get troubled within, you're filled with worry and fear and turmoil in your soul, you try to find the solution to it in a drug. You try to find the solution to your worry and your depression in pleasure or in people. You see, you've sought the answer. You're looking for peace. But you look for it in a bottle. You look for it in a pill. You look for it in some other perverted pleasure. Even some of the saints of God look for peace and discipline and denial and think that if they could do this or do that, they'll get that peace. Please hear me. Jesus Christ is called the Prince of peace. And until He's ruling and reigning, you'll not have peace. You can hide it. You can cover it up. You can give yourself an artificial thrill. When it's all over, no peace. No peace. Isaiah 26 calls it perfect peace. Philippians 4 calls it peace that passes understanding. Isaiah 48 calls it peace like a river. Ever heard that song? I got peace like a river. That's what Isaiah 48 says. That's where the song came from. Peace like a river. Now, why is it called peace that passes understanding? I'll tell you one reason. I'll give you two. I'll tell you one reason first that it's called peace that passes understanding. In order to be saved, here's what I know. I know that one day I'm going to stand before the judge of all the earth. I'm going to approach His bench. He's going to be sitting there at His throne with a gavel in His hand. And I'm going to have to face Him. Doesn't that sound exciting? I mean, I'm talking about the Creator of the universe who knows every intent and thought in my heart. I'm talking about the Judge of all the earth who made the sun, the moon, and the stars, who knows everything I've done behind closed doors, everything I did when the lights were off, everything I've done when the lights were on, who knows every thought in my head, every word on my tongue, knows everything I've ever said, knows everything I've ever thought, knows everything I've ever done. Hey, I'm talking about standing before His bench. He's got a gavel in His hand, and I'm going to have to answer to Him. Now, I don't know about you, but that's just a little bit scary. If not for the fact that I know I've got an advocate.
Amen.
I've got a daysman that Job longed for. He said, oh, that there were a daysman that could put his hands on the both of us. Job said, I want to talk to God. I want to look Him in the eye. I've got a complaint. I don't like what's going on here. And I want to talk to the Almighty. I want to look Him in the eye. I want to look Him face to face. And I want to talk to Him. And they said, well, Job, why don't you? He said, because I don't have anybody that can bring us to the table together. He said, I don't have anybody that can put his hand on God and his hand on me and bring us to the table together. Hey, Jesus Christ showed up, put his hand on the Father and put his hand on me and brought us to the table.
Yeah.
When I get up there facing Him, who is no respecter of persons, and He looks through the books, and I'm sitting there with sweat rolling off my face. And I'm sitting there trembling. And He says, why should I let you in my kingdom? I'm going to point to Jesus.
Yeah.
So you'll have to ask Him.
Yeah.
I can't speak for myself. He speaks for me. Amen.
Amen.
You know what that is? That's peace that passes understanding.
Amen.
I don't understand all that. A low down, dirty, rotten scoundrel like me. And I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's hard to figure out.
Good news.
I'll tell you why Pete passes understanding. Even Buddy Mason's got it.
Amen.
Amen. Even Jimbo's got it.
Amen.
Brother Sam's got it. Brother David's got it. Brother Bob's got it. Brother Mike's got it. Brother Roy's got it. Brother Jamie's got it. You pick out anybody in here that has the sorriest past in the world. If they're born again, they're in.
Yeah.
That's peace that passes understanding.
Amen.
And you stand before Him and say, but oh God, I did this and I did that and I'm not worthy to call Your name. I'm not worthy to latch Your shoes. I'm not worthy to be Your child. He says, hey, that's for me to decide. You're in my Son and He's in you. Welcome thou into the joy of the Lord.
Yeah,
that's a peace that passes understanding.
Amen.
There's a second reason it passes understanding. That one was for salvation, but for service in the midst of a chaotic world, in the midst of a confused world, in the midst of a condemned world, when everybody's stressed out and full of rage and fury, and worry and depression and frustration and even hatred and bitterness. When the world is filled with all of that stuff and they're relying on pills and drugs and coke and coffee to calm their nerves, and all of a sudden that old lost hellbound sinner looks over there at you and you ain't taken a pill or drank a cup of coffee in 6 weeks and you just got a little glimmer of a smile on your face. And you're humming, I've got peace like a river in my soul. And they say, what is your problem? What's wrong with you? What you so hunky-dory about? Huh? You know what that is? That's a peace that passes their understanding.
Yeah.
We think it's peace that passes understanding from our perspective. Hey, if you're saved, hooked in, lime in your life's going, you're all right, you're living for the Lord, I mean, you're glowing everywhere you... They don't understand that. It's beyond understanding. But you know what's sad, don't you? They don't see that very often. We're about as hooked on something for our happiness as the world is for theirs. We're about as dependable on the things of this world as the world is. Someone said there's five enemies to peace. Greed, ambition, envy, anger, and pride. Greed, ambition, envy, anger, and pride. Please search your soul this morning and ask yourself this question. Are you enjoying peace in your heart and in your home? Or, instead of peace ruling your heart, it's worry and anxiety and fear and stress and depression. An old Southern fella had a lot of wisdom. He said, "'Tain't worthwhile to wear a day all out before it gets here." "'Tain't worthwhile to wear a day all out before it gets here." You know what that is? That's where Jesus said, "Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof."
Amen.
Ain't no sense you worry about tomorrow. You better take care of today. Another man said this. He said, "It is distrust of God to be troubled about what is to come. It is impatient against God to be troubled about the present, and it's anger toward God to be troubled about the past." Hey, you may not think all that's true, but that's pretty profound. Think about that. It is distrust of God to be troubled about what is to come. It is impatient with God to be troubled about the present, and anger toward God to be troubled about the past. I know it's tough in this world, but you know what I grieve over sometimes in this church? People who are still grieving over the past. Just can't go on. We say of little babies, "Look at there, look at there. Not a care in the world."
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to be like.
Yeah.
You know what Brother Phillips says now almost every time I talk to him on the phone? This is a famous Australian saying. What is it, Patrick? "No worries." Except for it's "no worries, mate." And I say, "Well, Brother Philip, I tell you what, I've been so busy, I'm sorry." "No worries, no worries, no worries, no worries, no worries." Now they just say it. We're supposed to live it. One thing come out your lips, is another thing come out your heart.
Yes, sir.
Take your Bible and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. You know what I told people years and years ago before I ever read any Bible, before I knew anything about the Bible? I told them I thought stress killed my mother. Now don't you misunderstand me. I loved my mother more than anybody on the face of the earth. She died of cancer. She was 49 years old. I cannot remember any time in my life where she wasn't constantly worried. I don't blame her for that. She had a drunk for a husband who beat her and beat her children. Never knew when he was going to be home or when he was going to be gone. Probably never knew whether or not there's going to be a paycheck or not. Probably didn't know who he was with and when. And how many other women he was with and how many other children he's had. Whether he's going to get out of jail or go back in jail. According to my older brothers and sisters, from the time I was born to the time he died, he was probably in jail about 75% of that time. I'd say that'd make a woman worry. I'm not saying it's right and I'm not saying it's wrong in this case. I'm just simply saying I'm not condemning her for it. I believe my mother was one of the finest women that ever lived. But I believe worry and stress put her in the grave. I believe emotional and spiritual stress is killing this country. It is not age that's the silent killer. It's worry and stress. And you know why you can worry and stress so easily? Most people can't see it. See, if you're drunk, they'll see it. You steal, somebody's liable to see you. You cheat and lie, somebody's liable to know it. But you sit around worrying all day long, and you can find a place to hide. And you can put a smile on your face in church, but then you're miserable the rest of the time. I really believe that worry and stress and anxiety and tension and all that stuff going inside us is why we're so unhealthy physically. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that's why the doctor's offices and hospitals are overcrowded every day. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Let your moderation," and this is what we'll preach on tonight, "let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful." What does that mean? Full of care. Full of worry. Full of stress. Full of anxiety. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hey, no peace in your life? For the lost, it's a lack of faith. No peace in your life? For the saved, it's a lack of faithfulness. And that's what this text will teach us tonight. You know why many teens worry so much? No peace. You know why some of you teenage boys are so worried that somebody's not going to like the jeans or the shirt you got on? No peace. No peace. You know why you girls have to have your hair fixed a certain way? No peace. You know why you're so worried about whether or not you're on the team or you get voted most likely to do this or that or whether or not you fit in or you're popular or everybody knows your name? Even you girls here that get out there in your little clique and your little group, all you little girls, we watch, we know what's going on. You cry over the silliest things sometimes just because you have no peace. That's what's going on with a lot of young people in our world today. If they listen, they will worry and get stressed out over things that do not matter because they don't have peace about what really matters. You know why young women get about 30, 35, 40, and the world calls it a middle-age crisis? No, that's not what it is. It's no peace. They want to look 16. That's their problem. They can't stand being a mama or a grandmama. They're not happy with the way God made things. So they worry about a little extra weight, or they worry about whether or not they still look young, or they worry about what everybody thinks about them. I want to give some of you ladies who are moms and wives a little godly advice. If God and your husband is happy with you, you ought to be pretty happy. We're worried about what everybody else thinks about you and whether or not you're as popular as... I'll tell you the reason these kids have such a problem with peer pressure, because mom and dad has such a problem with it.
Amen.
That's the problem.
Good.
You know why? No peace. No peace. You're not at peace with the will of God for your life. You can't be content in the will of God. That's why young people worry. But young people will learn the lyrics to music they hate in order to fit in, because they have no peace. They'll listen to radio stations they really don't care anything about because everybody expects it, and they don't have peace unless they do it. No peace. No peace. And that's why their daddies won't raise their head and shout in church.
Good.
Same reason. No peace. What's so-and-so going to think about me? How's that going to look? No peace. And when you got peace, you really don't care what anybody thinks about you.
Amen.
You care about what he thinks.
Amen.
And if he's smiling and the whole world going, you can't even see that. Because all you can see is his smile.
Amen.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of this world go strangely dim. You know what our problem is? No peace. No peace. You know why? Too much time with a world that doesn't know the Prince of Peace. And too little time with the Prince of Peace. Let's stand for prayer.